Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 190 of the Milk Bar. Jason Forrest here in Kuwait this week. And it's with a funny noise in the background. The one
just
and
me in Wolverhampton.
It's Zoe Turner in Wolverhampton. How are you today?
Why are you always somewhere exciting?
I mean, Kuwait is not that exciting. It's just a long, long way away.
Is it warm?
It's about, at the moment it's quite late at night because I'm 3 hours ahead of you, but it is moderately warm. Yeah, it's quite pleasant, up to around 25, 26.
I was going to say, at least you're missing all the cold weather.
I've avoided snow twice. I've done really well, but there we go. Yeah. Right, what have we got coming up on the show this week, Zoe?
Oh, well, I've have a bit of a thing with plants that tend to die, so we're going to be having a chat to somebody from the Fuchsia Society.
Yeah, Pat Rogers joining us on the phone to have a chat at the Black Country Fuchsia Society. Also this week, we'll be hearing from John Ragg, a.k.a. William Shakespeare. I don't want to know too much about the name, but we'll be finding out more about him and his poetry a little bit later on. Music this week, because we are truly international. Zoe in Wolverhampton, me in Kuwait. Our musicians are in South Africa, but they're heading over to the UK very soon. We'll be hearing from Mr. Cat and the Jackal as they
can't
play.
Wait for that.
That's going to be good. They play the Robin 2 on the 27th of February, so we'll be hearing all about them. And we talk to Gert a little bit later on. First of all, though, we're joined on the line by David Hancock, who's a Mancunian. However, he has a show on at the Wolverhampton Art Gallery, which runs through to the 1st of June, and it's entitled Cosplay. David, how are you?
Hiya.
You all right?
Yeah, fine, thanks, yeah.
Gert's of Net Cosplay. This is something which is sort of built up around the internet because of social media, where people are dressing up as maybe their favourite cartoon character from an animated series, some anime, or even computer games.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Explain a bit more on that one. How did it all come about?
Well, in terms of cosplay has been around for quite a long time. It's kind of based around kind of sci-fi conventions, and people would just go up and dress up as their favourite characters. I mean, you might have seen, like, when Star Wars is on at the cinemas, everybody dresses up as Luke Skywalker or one of the Jedi and stuff like that. So it's kind of been around for a long time, kind of originated in America. But I suppose more recently, with kind of the rise of manga and a lot of the computer games and stuff like Final Fantasy based around that, it's kind of been a bit more focus on Japan, and it's in Japan where it's really took off really huge, and then I suppose it's been exported back over here. So there's a lot of kind of expos and events where people have an opportunity to kind of dress up and go along as their favourite character.
You've used the phrase dress up because that's really what it's either fancy dress or dressing up, but it's one step further.
Yeah, well, to say the dress up is kind of underplay what they do, really. They actually become the character that they're trying to dress up. So it's not like when you see people going out at a hen night and they've dressed up as like Superman or Spider-Man. Then what the cosplayers do is kind of try and become the character as much as possible, kind of take on the personality traits. So it's a kind of performance art as well as a kind of a costume event as well. They also, most of the kind of the better ones, make all the costumes themselves as well. So they'll spend months and months making these really amazing, elaborate costumes. And kind of part of the process is becoming that character as well in the process of making the outfit.
And then your artwork comes into it because you've produced a load of photoreal paintings depicting this art. Now, where did your interest come from to do that?
I've always had a real big interest in subcultures with my paintings anyway. It's something I've always been focused on, and this idea of escapism as well through kind of youth culture and stuff like that. And recently, I'm doing a PhD at the moment, and I'm kind of looking at kind of subcultures as part of that. And I was also looking at like immersive gaming environments as well, and it was a way of kind of bringing both of these aspects of my own research together in a way, and cosplay just kind of really perfectly falls in with that. It's the idea of kind of creating an alternative kind of reality within our reality, I suppose, and it also kind of has links, I suppose, with things like computer games and immersive environments and places like Second Life and World of Warcraft and stuff like that. So it's kind of, it's almost like, rather than going into the computer game, you're bringing the computer game into the real world.
So the pictures that are displayed, are they paintings of people that are dressed up, or are they just imaginary people that you've painted?
No, no, they're all real people.
Oh, okay.
So they're all real people who have met and photographed and kind of spent some time with. The bigger paintings, I've actually kind of created a photo shoot and tried to recreate an environment that suits their character. Some of the smaller ones are just kind of based on photographs that I've taken at like expos, or it's kind of weird as well because it's a subculture. They kind of meet in a similar way that you would a normal subculture, like in Manchester on a Saturday afternoon. You'll find them kind of hanging around in local parks, all meeting up and kind of having fun together and kind of doing what like kind of punks used to do or goths used to do and things like that. So it's not just going to the actual expo events. They do it in a more subcultural way as well.
Right, so you could be walking through a park, for example, and you come across a group of people dressed as Mario or...
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I was walking back through town on Saturday and there's a group of kind of cosplayers called furries who dress up as like in full kind of fur animal suits, and they were hanging around in Sackville Park.
Well, that's good in this weather, though.
Yeah, it was. Actually, you think you'd got to wish I had one of them on because I was absolutely freezing.
And have you never been tempted to take part in this sort of thing yourself, having an interest in it now?
No, not really. I kind of like being a little bit on the outside of it as well. I mean, I used to be a goth years and years ago, and I've always had this kind of interest in subcultures. But I don't know, I kind of find it more interesting a little bit being on the outside, so I've never quite been tempted with the cosplay. So, I mean, I think it's amazing, and it's totally inspirational, and I just think the people are really amazing. But I've just never, I don't think it's quite for me.
But you actually met up with some people in Wolverhampton who are doing this, and you've got some of new artworks which are featuring local places around the city.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the reasons, one of the things I wanted to do for the exhibition was kind of give it a relevance to the city as well. Because I think one of the things that subcultures do, and particularly cosplays, is they kind of change the environment that we're in and kind of give you a whole new perspective on the actual urban space. I mean, it's similar with skateboarders, like the way skateboarders use the urban space, it kind of... they see it completely differently from everybody else. They see it as almost like a skate park, and it's for them an opportunity from go to A to B and like find all these really interesting things that can be transformed into jumps and they can do stunts off. And I think with the cosplayers as well, they change particular objects within the city, so it becomes part of the fantasy that they're trying to recreate around the character. So I think one of the interesting things is part of the show, it kind of gives you an alternative view of Wolverhampton. I mean, it was one of the paintings that I did, which was on the roof of the art gallery, and we've kind of, in the painting, the art gallery is transformed into Gotham City as kind of Catwoman's kind of clambering over the roof.
Yeah.
And there's another one of Tong Court, which is near Molyneux, where, like, this urban high-rise is no longer Tong Court, it's kind of transported into kind of urban Tokyo instead, like all the massive high-rise apartments there. So it just kind of gives a different way of looking at the city, I suppose.
Makes it a bit more exciting, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things that the cosplayers do, it's kind of they transform the city but within their own imagination rather than kind of through graffiti or skateboarding or kind of other kind of subcultures.
Now you're working in watercolours. What are there any other mediums that you've used in this exhibition?
Pencil crayon as well. Originally, up to probably about 4 years ago, I always used to paint in acrylic, which it's kind of like an opaque medium. It's similar to oil paint, but it dries a lot quicker. And I used to fill the whole canvases, and they were really, really detailed and elaborate. But I've kind of wanted to move away from that and bring a bit more kind of freedom into the kind of mark making that I do. It's still very realistic, but with watercolour, there's a lot more of a kind of an opportunity to play, and you can kind of splash around a bit. And I tend to leave a lot of the white paper as well in the paintings. So I've kind of preferred to use these kind of translucent mediums at the moment, like pencil crayon and watercolour.
Well, the exhibition is on now through until the 1st of June this year. And on the 19th of February, there's actually a cosplay costume design workshop between 11am and 2pm. So if you want to get along to that one, check out the website for more details at wolverhampton.org.uk. And you can find out all about what's going on down there. David, good to talk to you. Thank you for joining us. And
yeah, nice to speak to you.
It's intriguing, the exhibition. How many pieces are there in total to see?
I think it's about 50. So it's quite a lot.
So it's not a quick dash round. You've actually got to take your time over this one because there's plenty of artworks
on
display.
Yeah, there's quite a few big pieces, and then the back wall of the galleries is probably about 30 or 40 paintings, kind of, well, actually, no, that's a bit of an exaggeration. Maybe about 20 paintings kind of all kind of crammed together.
I think there's going to be some people that are going to go who haven't heard of it before and that get quite into it, yeah. I think, by the sound of it, because it sounds very exciting.
It does sound
intriguing.
Yeah,
hopefully at the end of it, there'll be loads of people dressing up, and there's the expo in Telford on Saturday as well, so all the cosplayers will be kind of passing through Wolverhampton on the way to Telford. So.
And are you going to be down there with your sketchbook?
Yeah, I'm going to go down on the Saturday and take lots of photographs and maybe make some more paintings from people who go. So
it could be an ongoing, growing exhibition between now and the 1st of June, this one, couldn't
it?
So
definitely carrying on with it for a while.
David, thank you for joining us. Good to speak to you.
All right, thank you. All right, bye-bye.
Ta-ra for now. Right, let's take our first track from our featured band, Mr. Cat and the Jackal. This is Bad Man He Coming.
The bad man's coming.
Whole town is dead. There's a bad man coming.
from the current album Sins and Siren Songs. That was Mr. Cat and the Jackal with Bad Man He Coming. And joining us on the phone now, one of the vocalists from the band, it's Gert. Hello, sir.
Hi there.
Now, you're currently in South Africa.
That's true, yes.
So we do
is
have
the weather nice? That's the first thing we need to know. What's the weather like?
It's not bad. Actually, it's been raining the past couple of days, but it's still warm. It's summer, so I stay in Woodstock, which is just next to Cape Town, and it's like known to be very windy. It's very windy most of the time.
Gosh.
Now, you're trading all that in for the UK for about a week and a half on tour around the country, and you're arriving at the Robin 2 in Bilston on the 27th of February. I'm already impressed because I'm told that between you and all the band, you play about 30 different instruments, don't you?
Yes, we do play a lot of instruments. We do have a lot, especially on the percussion side. See, we got two percussionists. So the one percussionist really, you know, he's got a whole array of little stuff and shakers and bells and whistles and all kinds of chimes and silly things.
including a saw.
This is Jock, the Jackal. He plays the saw. He plays the lap slide. But yeah, the saw is one of the instruments in the repertoire. We like collecting instruments and, you know, checking out what's out there and getting new weird stuff, you know.
Well, we're taking a listen to four songs from your current album on the show today, just to give a flavour of the sort of things that you do. And Bad Man He Come, we've just heard. Next up is Old Port Jones. And then we've got Devil Always Wants to Dance and Where's My Shoes on the Way. And having had a listen through them, they're all, yes, within the acoustic folk sound, but they're very different songs, aren't they?
Yeah, we really try to not write the same thing, a same song twice, you know, to really, that's where a lot of the ideas with the different instruments comes in as well, you know, to keep the sound fresh of a song. What kind of sound would it need? It would need this kind of thing, so how can we get that kind of sound, you know, from maybe a saw or then a bouzouki or lap slide.
What's the strangest instrument that's on the album, would you say?
I'd say it's probably the saw, although in percussion we do kind of, there's some swords clinging in the background in one song. There's a thunder plate, which is just a big metal sheet, which makes a very, very great thundery sound. We use all kinds of sound effects.
And your sound is very different because you actually have different people writing songs, and if it's one of your songs, you do the vocals on it, and your colleagues also produce different tracks as well, and you then all sort of collaborate after it's been written, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, the final product is very much a joint effort, but at the core of the song, you know, I would sit and write the lyrics and get an idea for the thing, you know, where it all starts, and then I would basically structure it just on one instrument, the ghost instrument, we call it, and then we'll record it and then layer it from there, you know, see what Jock would play on it. The songs you named, I think most of them is actually Jock songs. Only The Devil Always Wants to Dance is my song. The other ones, Bad Man and Old Port Jones and Where's My Shoes, are all...
I'm glad they chose at least one of yours for today's show. When it actually comes down to, you know, your success, I mean, you're massive throughout South Africa. You've had some fantastic top 10 hits. But have you been to the UK before?
No, we've never been abroad. The furthest abroad we've been was Mozambique.
Bring plenty of jumpers with you then at the minute. It's quite cold.
Oh yes, no, we're aware of that, it being winter and all.
Well, we can tell you that the Robin 2 is an absolutely fantastic venue. You'll really enjoy playing there. The audiences are great, and it's always, you know, nice the way that different sorts of music play side by side at the venue, and I think there's a big crossover in their audiences as well, so it gives people a fresh mind coming to some of this music to hear it for the first time, and I think that Mr. Cat and the Jackal will go down particularly well, to be fair, and it should be quite an enjoyable experience for one and all. And you say you're touring up and down the country. How do you see it as far as, you know, taking on the rest of the globe goes? Is the UK just a first stepping stone? Are you heading off elsewhere afterwards?
I'd love that, but, you know, you need resources to achieve those kind of things. You need people and big stuff backing you, you know. This is kind of a showcase tour for us to play to promoters on the other side, you know, and see where it can take us. But I'm very... I'm very excited to see, to compare the industry. I mean, only knowing the South African industry, you can imagine it's not that big, you know, although it is alive and well. But we've always been told, and we very much know that we've got a European sound to our music. I mean, we are, in a sense, European, although we're South African. So we've always known we had this European sound, so we thought it would be best to try to tackle Europe first.
You've got two albums under your belt so far. Is there a third on the way soon?
Yes, we are busy working on new material. We've recorded a couple of tracks. We've released one called End of Days. We released it just before the 27th of December with the whole Mayan calendar end of the world thing going on.
Yeah.
So that's up for free download on SoundCloud. But other than that, we're just busy still with pre-production on most of the songs.
Well, you keep working on that. We look forward to hearing those tunes as well. And if you do want tickets, you can give the Robin 2 a call on 01902 401211. That's Wolverhampton 401211. Well, actually, Bilston, but it's 01902. And do you have a website as well where people can check out your tunes and see what you look like?
Yes, you can. Actually, to just Google Mr. Captain Jackal is best there. You go to a one page which directs you to everything. I mean, I'd say go check out our videos on YouTube. We've got a couple that we've loaded up. That's quite interesting and fun stuff to look at.
You can see you and the saw in action. Thank you, Gert. Cheers. It's been good to speak to you. Thank you for joining us. And hopefully we'll, if we may well even be able to get along and see you live and in person down at the Robin 2 in the very near future, down the 27th of February.
That'll be great. Good. Hope to see you there.
Cheers. Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
Right, let's take our second song from the guys. This is Old Port Jones.
She's dreaming of the life she had before. A little tear rolled down her chin, dropped into her wine. For the man who this morning walked out of her door. And now she got a reason for rolling. that she loves, let her down by words, by moans, by the sound of things. She won't be coming home for the man that she loves, let her down.
Mr. Cat and the Jackal, that one, Old Port Jones. Right, Zoe.
Yes.
In the past, you and I have seen some fantastic displays of fuchsias when we've been down at the Wolverhampton City Show. And yeah, the Black Country Fuchsia Society look after that kind of thing. On the line now to tell us more is Pat. Hello.
Hello.
Now, first of all, explain what you do as a society, because there must be lots of tips and people to get together on this sort of thing.
Yeah, well, we meet monthly. It's usually the last Tuesday in the month at Corpus Christi Social Centre in Griffiths Drive, Wensfield, and it's usually for 2 hours. We have a speaker giving you all hints and tips on growing fuchsias, their ways of growing them, because there's not only one way of growing a fuchsia, there's loads of ways. You all get your own way of growing. We are 30 years old this year, by the way, the society, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. we're hoping to celebrate that at West Park. We also do a Malvern show, whereas last September we won an RHS gold medal, the society did.
Congratulations on that one.
At the Malvern Autumn Show, which we're hoping to repeat it and get a gold again in May.
Fingers crossed, though, yeah.
We do an awful lot of things. We also do a bit for charity. We raise money for Acorns Children's Hospice. Any of the plants that are brought to the meetings, they're sold for that. It doesn't go into the society. We raised £400 for Acorns last year. So we do various things. We're a happy-go-lucky lot of people, and we'd love people to come and join us.
Now, fuchsias themselves, probably at this time of year, are currently under probably about 2 foot of both snow and some protective layer of either fleece or possibly hay, just to keep them alive for the winter months.
Mine are in the greenhouse.
Ah, that's the other safe place for them.
That's the better place, probably.
And then a couple of layers, there's about 3 or 4 layers of fleece over them at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So it is very cold,
time,
isn't it?
Oh, well, it is the cold that kills them. If you're lucky if you can get them through the winter. If you do, then they thrive for you. But you can grow all sorts of fuchsias. You can do all sorts of shapes. I do a lot of bonsai fuchsias. And, you know, you go rings and fans and, pot plants, show plants.
Mm. You can they're difficult to grow, because, I mean, myself, I can only do spider plants, and that's because I tend to forget to water them, and they last quite well until I can get around to watering them all. But anything else I don't normally have much luck with. But is it one of those plants where you do have to keep watering them on a regular basis? Or?
No, you can kill them with giving them too much water.
Oh, okay.
You've got to strike a happy medium with it, if I want to know whether it needs watering, I touch the foliage with my hands, and if it collapses under my hands, it goes all soft, I know it wants some water.
But they do bounce back really quickly then as well, don't they?
Oh, brilliant. They only go have a drink. They're like us. If we have a drink, we pick up, don't we?
Well, the Black Country Fuchsia Society, you say, is 30 years old this year. Many events to come. But remind us of when you have your meetings each month.
It's the last Tuesday of every month, apart from December.
Anybody can just turn up on that day?
Yeah, just turn up at the door. We'll make you welcome. It's only £3.50 a year to join anyway.
And there's probably plenty of cutting to get shared around and included in that as well, isn't there?
This is what happens when you join a society. You don't go to nurseries and buy cuttings because you've got friends that just
That's it, and lots of tips as well, I would imagine.
Yeah, we are this year, we are trying to get from 7 o'clock to 5:30. There's a couple of experts giving tips and hints of how they grow and how to take cuttings, how to you know, if you've got problem plants that we look at. So yeah. For that half an hour, we do that for them. But we're trying to get it off the ground at the moment. Only having one meeting last month, so, you know, a lot of people didn't turn up. But this is what we're trying to do.
Well, the weather probably hasn't helped at this time of year. Fingers crossed, as we head towards the end of February, it'll be a little bit brighter for you, and you'll get many along for that one. If people do want to get in touch with you, can they give you a call just to confirm details on that?
Give me my name, Pat Rogers, on 01922 414749.
Okay, that's 01922, a Warsaw number, 414749. Have a chat with Pat. And you will sort them out and make sure they come along to the right place at the right time and hopefully bring a few plants too.
Yes, we certainly will.
Pat, thank you for talking to us. Great speaking to you.
No problem.
Cheers.
Thank you very much
now.
For asking me. Thank you. Okay. Bye.
Right, let's take another tune from Mr. Cat and the Jackal. This one, Devil Always Wants to Dance.
The wisest of the fools always leads the biggest screw. He knows just how to tell them exactly what to do. They're just smart enough to listen to all these little rules. But when something goes wrong, it's easy to blame fools. Listen, you better react. Do as you're told when the curtain's drawn back. The show is about to begin. When the music starts, you better start to sing. Don't dare to step out your tracks. You know, like wolves, they will be on your back. There's no excuse for mistakes being made. No, you can be sure. We all know.
always wants to dance. There we go. That is Mr. Cat and the Jackal one more time. And we now go to the phones, where we find a gentleman called John Ragg. However, if you were at the Love Slam, which he won last week, you will know him better as William Shatspear. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. You all right?
I am good, thank you. Now, you're a South Brumite, currently languishing in Stourbridge, and you're headed over to our neck of the woods to do... Was it all love poetry that you did last week, with Valentine's Day on the way?
It was a bit of a mixture. I started with that Richard III, which was kind of a love poem, but about Richard III.
First time that's been done about Richard III.
Well, it's kind of topical at the moment, isn't it? Because
they've
dug him up and established that it is indeed him.
But he didn't come along in person just to say hello, though. That was slightly lacking, unfortunately.
He didn't put in an appearance, no.
So,
thankfully,
the whole poetry slam thing, it's in your face, it's poetry, you've got to be up there, it's got to be lively, you've got to keep people's attention. And you, with your guise of William Shatspear, which I'm hoping for, and if it's not, please say it is. It's some sort of tribute to William Shatner somewhere along the lines. you must. Hey, I have to put on a big personality to do this sort of stuff.
No, not really. I mean, that's what surprised me. Yeah, about the fact that I won. Because, yes, most of them are quite lively, but I'm not really very lively. I just stand there and read the things, you know. I don't really perform as such. I just read it.
So it was purely down to the quality and the delivery in bringing across the true artwork of your pieces then?
Well, I tell you what, it's also partly down to the order that you perform in. I was saying this to the guy that went on first, really. You don't stand... much chance going on first in such things because the audience hasn't warmed up, you see. And I was lucky enough to be a bit later on.
And it does help when they remember you when it comes to voting as well.
Yes, indeed, yeah.
So
I won the thing by one vote in the end. So I counted myself very lucky, really.
It does add to the excitement, though, doesn't it?
Yes, it certainly does, yeah. It was a real nail-biter.
So, are you prepared to share with us some of the poetry that you slammed last week?
Oh, gosh. Poetry. well, I don't remember them, you see. I have some written down. I'll read you a short one, shall I? This is not one that I did the other night, but it's clean at least.
Okay.
this is called Ducks for You. Ducks always fly in a V. I know, because I've seen them. I don't know why they don't fly in a Y. But it's not my job to know that, is it? There you go.
That was quite short.
But in the spirit of a poetry slam where you take an idea, you develop it, you hit them with an answer, and that's it.
Well, as I said, I just stand there and read the things out. I couldn't believe it when I won it. Most undeserving winner, I assure you.
Well, certainly very humble, which is always good.
You know, during the competition, you'd say that, and then somebody else would come immediately back with something else at you. Is that how it works?
Oh, it's not like it isn't like these rappers that sort of cuss each other or anything like that.
It's not a poetry duel. You do get your own time and space.
No, you are sort of head to head in the final, but you're not sort of hurling insults at each other or anything like that. No.
So, is this the start of many a slam for you? Are you going to be taking part in much more around the area?
Well, I think if I was wise, I'd never do another one again, having won one. This is my
quite
second one that I've entered, and I was knocked out in the first round the first time I tried it. I haven't changed my act since, you know, so just did the same thing and was lucky enough to win it.
Well, congratulations. If people do want to find out more about your work, do you have a website or a blog or anything?
Well, I'm on YouTube, actually, just reading some of them out on my settee at home. If you just look up William Shatspear, you will find me. I'm there. I don't particularly want to be published or anything of that sort. I just I read them out when I feel like it.
And I think that's a nice way of looking at poetry, isn't it? It's something that's there when you want it to be, and it does the job, and hopefully puts a smile on the face, or it makes you think, depending on what sort of poetry. Or both, possibly.
Absolutely, yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. Yeah.
John Ragg, a.k.a. William Shakespeare, thank you for joining us, and we shall look out for more of your poetry online soon.
My pleasure.
Cheers. Drop an
okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Right, time to take our fourth and final tune from our featured band this week.
Here's Mr. Cat and the Jackal with Where's My Shoes?
They were a gift from my mother when I turned 15, and I wore them to school with my favorite old jeans. They were made up of leather, laces and sole, and they took me to places I never thought I would go. All my friends used to laugh at me. I stood out from the rest. They weren't the most expensive, but to me they were the best. They were little too big, but I grew into them slow. They were a gift from my mother, and now I miss them so.
Where's my shoes?
Where's my shoes?
Where is my shoes? Said I woke up this morning and my shoes were gone. Where's my shoes?
Where's my shoes?
Where is my shoes? Said I woke up this morning and my shoes were gone.
Well, I lost all my riches that I made long.
Where's My Shoes, our final tune from that acoustic folk sound of Mr. Cat and the Jackal. Zoe, lovely to have you with us, even though I'm unexpectedly out the country again this week.
Yes, but, it's been a bit strange, like speaking to people from South Africa and everywhere as well.
So. And me being in Kuwait and you being in Wolverhampton, where it sounds like there's this strange hissing noise as we've had throughout the whole show. But
my laptop going a bit wild.
Right, okay. Lovely to speak to you as ever, and we shall be back hopefully in the same building next week.
Yes, try and make it, Jason.
I will do my best. Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye. bar from the milk bar, yeah.